Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome in to another edition of the 3&D podcast on the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network. I'm Ben Hogan, and unlike last time I opened the show, I'm actually joined this time by co-host Justin Lewis. Justin, what's going on, man?
Man, I am exhausted. Just working, having the baby, doing all that. But glad to be here and glad to let you run it tonight.
The Grizzlies haven't made any trades since our last episode, have they?
You say that. Yeah, they got Mark, released him. You say that, and they're going to make a trade in the middle of this, or as soon as we end it.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. They still got roster moves to make, but right now, all eyes are pretty much on Philly, what's going on there. So let's get right into it. The reason I'm kind of opening things up, just letting everybody know, it's because – during the season, I'm going to be doing some betting stuff for the Grizzly Bear Blues, and DraftKings is kind of the partner-ish, I guess, with SB Nation, so we're going to be using those odds. And today, the 3&D podcast is going to focus on futures for the NBA season, the upcoming season, the best odds. We're also going to touch on the Grizzlies' opening night against Cleveland Cavs, because we're about a month away of – actual NBA regular season basketball. It kind of snuck up on me because it just feels like, you know, it hit such a, you know, dead period, and then now you look up and you're a month away.
Yeah, I guess the extended season and the shortened off season made it just kind of creep up on you, which is exciting because it's almost like you didn't miss too much basketball. But it's definitely going to be here quick. Preseason is right around the corner. I think this time next week, the Grizzlies will be a day into camp. So we're carrying this roster in and let these guys duke it out for those final couple roster spots.
Yeah, I mean, the Grizzlies still have a few decisions to make when it comes to their roster because they're a few players heavy right now. But it'll be interesting to see how things shake out, I imagine. 2 weeks from now when we do our next podcast, that we'll probably be discussing a lot of that stuff because if decisions hadn't been made, we're just going to have to make them for them, I guess.
Yeah, unless we hit on those plus 6,600 odds that we're the team that trades for Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind putting a dollar or two on that. You might, no, might as well. You get lucky twice. You know, you get Ben Simmons on your squad. Let's talk about that real quick before we get into these odds on the Ben Simmons front, because still there's people out there that are just like, Ben Simmons doesn't fit with the Grizzlies. They're adamant that the Grizzlies don't need to trade for Ben Simmons, and I'm just wondering why.
Because he can't shoot. Like that's the only answer anybody really has. Some people want to say that like he may not be good for the locker room, and if, you know, Kleiman comes out and like that's the reason why, then fine. Like he's done a great job of building the locker room culture. But if you're going to sit here and say it's because he can't shoot, well, your most one of your most beloved players in franchise history and Tony Allen couldn't shoot either. Like, you're going to take
your most beloved Grizzly teams couldn't shoot. Let's be honest.
And right now you've got Desmond Bane that can shoot. That's it. Like, and if they look like Parker has said in the past, if they loved Josh Giddey, like the rumors were, then they obviously would love Ben Simmons. And I got on 2K when I got it and I made the trade and got Ben Simmons. And let me tell you something, running Jaren at the five and Ben at the four is a lot of fun. Simmons gets that rebound, pushes up the floor, and Jaw's trailing ahead, and you can just throw it up ahead, and he goes and rips the rim off with a dunk, or Simmons initiates it, kicks it up ahead to Jaw, and then you've got, like, Desmond Bane or Melton sitting in a corner waiting for a three. Like, the possibilities with Ben Simmons are obviously not endless because he's not shooting right now. But, right. Again, he's 25 years old. But, and going somewhere where maybe the pressure's off of him some, he can regain some confidence because a lot of shooting is confidence. And he clearly doesn't have any in Philly. So maybe he can go somewhere else, have some confidence instilled in him, and he, you know, becomes a 30% shooter. Like, just even if he'll just take the shots, like that's all he would need to do here in Memphis, be a threat. And I think he'd be a phenomenal fit. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would be thrilled if it did.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the deal is in Philly, but I think it's a lot to do with he just doesn't want to play in Philly. It's not necessarily he doesn't want to play with those guys anymore. There's been nothing that's come out that said, you know, he was a bad teammate or anything like that. I really haven't seen anything like that. I know there was a back and forth with Embiid, but Embiid kind of squashed that pretty quickly. So for me, I don't necessarily think – the locker room stuff, I haven't really paid much attention to because I don't think that would be an issue. But I think a lot of people were just like, well, Ja can't shoot. Well, we want to put Ben Simmons there. He just doesn't fit and all this other thing, all these other things. But it's just, you know, as we've discussed, it's mega Kyle Anderson, more or less. And, you know, I'd love to have him on the team. But still here nor there. Let's get into these preseason odds, the futures. Do you want to go with the players and coaches awards and leaders, or do you want to go with team odds first?
Let's go with the players.
All right. You want to work our way back, or you want to start out at the MVP or just work up from Rookie of the Year to MVP?
Yeah, let's talk Rookie of the Year and Zaire Williams plus 4,500 odds.
Yes. Well, first off, I'm going to say when it comes to betting, when we say plus 4,500, in reference to that, that means like if you bet $100, if you bet $100 and he wins, you win $4,500. That's how it works. You bet $10.
In my world, if you bet a dollar, you win 45.
Right, right. And if I say I'm betting a unit, which is what one of the, like, that's the betting term, I'm betting a unit, that's the amount of money that you're willing to bet on, like, on an average bet. Like, I'll say a unit for me is probably $10. If I'm betting on a Saturday college football game, I'm betting $10. I'm betting one unit. And, you know, a parlay, I'm probably betting like $2. So I guess right. That's what, a fifth of a unit. But
right.
for this sake, we'll just say I'll throw a dollar, I'll throw $2, I'll throw $3 on that. Or, you know, if I like this bet, like a long shot, it's kind of one of those things. But I'm not – any of these, I'm not betting more than $10 on just because I don't have that bankroll.
Yeah.
I just – both of us, we have kids. So – We can't go all out like confidence wise on that. Even if we're confident that this bet's gonna hit no matter what, I still can't do it. So,
I'm not throwing anything on Zaire plus 4,500. I'm not wasting a dollar on that.
I'm not either. I wrote down on these. I wrote down like the Grizzlies and their odds, the Grizzlies players, and then I wrote down a few other players like the ones with the best odds to win, and then kind of like a dark horse if you want to have some fun with it. So Zaire Williams plus 4,500. I don't like that. I know you don't like that. Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, top four on that. Cade Cunningham's plus 250, Jalen Green plus 275. Suggs plus 700, Mobley plus 800. I would probably have to say Jalen Green if I was going to put some money down.
Yep, I've said it on Twitter. I'm going green, and I'd be willing to throw a couple bucks on plus 275.
Yeah, I would probably put $5 on it just to turn into 10, or I guess 15-ish, close to 15. My dark horse is Book Knight. I think because he's plus 2,800. If that's kind of something that I want to, you know, put $2 down, plus 2,800, turn that into $56. If I lose $2 on that, so be it. But I think his situation, he has a potential of being a guy that could, you know, get some rookie of the year love there. Maybe. But if I'm, of all the guys that I look down, Book Knight was probably the one I think is in the best situation if you're looking for a dark horse or a long shot on rookie of the year.
I think another dark horse might be Giddy. Yeah. Just because he's going to have the opportunity, because Oklahoma City is going to be terrible. He's going to see a lot of minutes. So he's got a chance to at least put up the numbers.
Let's go to most improved player. I know GBB's Parker Fleming has been all on this odds for Jaren Jackson Jr. It's at plus 1,500 right now. There's also a few other Grizzly players that you're able to get on DraftKings for most improved player. You get Jaren Jackson Jr. He's plus 1,500. He's the best odds for the Grizzlies. Ja Morant plus 3,000. Brandon Clark plus 6,000. Dylan Brooks plus 5,000. And Kyle Anderson plus 15,000. So if you think Kyle Anderson's going to get even better, in fact, if you think he's going to make that leap, then you can put a dollar down and win 150 if he hits this. But of all those, I kind of have to agree with Parker is probably Jaren Jackson Jr. is probably the best one out of those guys.
I think Jaren might be the best odds out of anybody on the list. The people that are ahead of him, like, what kind of freaking leap are they going to take for them to be most improved? Like Michael Porter Jr. and Zion Williamson. Like, I just don't see that. Morant is another one that, like, if he improves enough to win most improved, he's borderline MVP top five. Like,
right. That's one of those things. Like, if I'm betting for Ja to be most improved player of the year, then I'm putting double that on him to win MVP.
Right. I think that I didn't even see the Dylan one. Dylan at plus 5,000 is interesting to me, because if he plays like he did in the playoffs for 82 games, he could run away with this award. But I do think that it could possibly be Jaren's to lose, because if he just plays like he's supposed to, I think he's a shoe-in for it. So that's bet 100 to win $1,500 if Jaren wins it. That's great value.
No doubt about it. Michael Porter Jr., he's the favorite. This is the thing, though. I think the most improved player pool is kind of the one that's most jumbled. Like, no one really knows what to do with it. Because Michael Porter Jr., he's plus 800. And he's the best odds to win most improved player. So it's kind of like it's a crapshoot.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess he has a legit chance because Jamal Murray is going to be out. So Porter is going to have to step up more than he did at the end of the year last year. And then you're about to say Kevin Porter Jr. If John Wall's not playing, that's going to be a lot of opportunity for Kevin Porter. So he's probably a good bet as well.
And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's plus 1,200 and Zion's plus 1,400. And I'm like, what? Zion's got turned to Shaq.
Yeah, I don't
really. I mean, that's how he's got turned to Shaq if he's going to win most improved player. I mean, the hype's already there for Zion. I don't know where that is.
Maybe if he improves on defense and knocks down some threes. Like, I don't get where his path is for this.
My long shot on this is Wendell Carter plus 8,000. He has a new home in Orlando. I mean, Mo Bamba's there too, but I mean, I think that the situation could, if he reaches his potential, he has the situation to do it. Wendell Carter's the long shot. I'd put a dollar down to win $80.
Yeah, I'd hop on that one with you for sure.
Let's get now into sixth man. I can't see, it doesn't necessarily go with a most improved player, but there's a few. Well, Brandon Clark's also on this one. He's plus 6,000, which coincidentally is the same odds for Grayson Allen, who is no longer a Grizzly. And the only other Grizzly that's on the list that you can get odds on right now, the new guy, Jarrett Culver. He's plus 10,000.
Yeah, so my guess is because they don't know who's going to be starting between Anderson, Bane, or Melton, they're not putting the odds out yet because you could probably get a steal on it. It's just interesting that Culver even makes the list because he may not even crack the rotation.
Right. It just kind of seems like he's a throw-in at the end. Like I say, he's plus 10,000. That was towards the bottom. The leader in the clubhouse, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles. Clarkson and Ingles. Clarkson's plus 500. Ingles is plus 1,200. I like the Tyler Hero plus 2,500 and Campaign at plus 2,500 as well.
Yeah, so this is one where I'm not touching a Grizzly because it's typically the kind of Jordan Clarkson microwave type guard that wins it. And I think it's probably going to be between Clarkson or Ingles again this year. So it'd be a waste of a dollar for any Grizzly to be put on it on the sixth man.
I just like Campaign just because the son, Chris Paul's a year older. So, I mean, maybe.
Yeah. He proved himself at the end. I think a lot of these awards, too, there's going to be some end of last season kind of memory when it comes to voting for these, like, especially with Michael Porter Jr. for most improved, like how he improved at the end of last year. I think that's going to be kept in mind when they vote. So if you're thinking about Campaign, who's not fighting off Javon Carter for minutes anymore and played so well at the end of the year, he might be a good dark horse value, but I think it's going to be one of the Utah guys.
Yeah. I mean, that makes the most sense because I mean, that's how it was last year. You know, that's as long as they're as good as they were last year, it's definitely probably going to be one of those two. Let's move on to defensive player of the year. There's a few Grizzlies on here, but they're very, very low down on this. Rudy Gobert is a favorite at plus 340. Therefore, the previously mentioned Ben Simmons at plus 350. Those are the two favorites. Third is Anthony Davis at plus 700. But Dylan Brooks, plus 7,500. Jaren Jackson Jr., plus 8,000.
Yeah. Good for Dylan for, you know, being the highest odd Grizzly player. It's kind of a surprise that Kyle Anderson isn't listed on there. I think his impact kind of gets overlooked a little bit. And I think Dylan Brooks's impact is overestimated, overvalued. He's phenomenal in denial, off-ball defense. His point of attack defense is poor. Jaren, you know, if he's blocking two shots a game, he's staying out of foul trouble, and he becomes an anchor in the defense the way that Marc Gasol used to be, I think he could win one sometime. I just wouldn't put money on it to be this year.
He's not really a dark horse, and I think he's going to do it, but just because my child's name is John Isaac, I'm going to put a couple bucks on Jonathan Isaac at plus 6,000.
I want him to stay healthy so bad. Like I just want
to. I do too. I don't think he's gonna do it, but it'd just be fun, you know.
Yeah.
Leading scorer of the league, Bradley Beal is the favorite, plus 275. Bet 100, you win 275. You bet 10, 2750. Not really worth my coin, if you ask me. Ja, he's on here at plus 20,000. A dollar wins you $200. Do you know who has half those odds at plus 10,000?
Who?
Michael Porter Jr. to lead the league in scoring.
Man, that's a dollar for $100 right there.
Yeah.
Huh. That's tempting.
But I was surprised because, like,
he could do it.
I don't see him making that jump yet. Like, Michael Porter Jr. to lead the league in scoring, I can't do it.
I mean, I definitely can't. I mean, I'm not taking Ja. I don't care how great the odds are. I'm not putting anything on that. But, that's a good dark horse in Porter Jr. because Murray, like, on the wing, who's going to score? It's not going to be Monty Morris. And Jokic, no. Jokic might. Yeah. Where's Jokic at on that list? Is he ahead of Porter Jr.? He's probably going to be around the $4,000 to $5,000.
I think he's right around it. Let me pull it up real quick. I just listed a few of them. I have the list right in front of my name. Jamal Murray's there at plus 20,000. Same odds as Ja.
If he qualifies.
Yeah. I don't even see Jokic on this list. I don't think you can bet on Jokic.
Interesting.
To lead the league in scoring. He just does so much else. Oh, yeah, there's Jokic. He has the same odds. Same odds as Porter Jr.
So they're basically saying whoever scores the most out of those two has a chance to also lead the league.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd put a dollar down on Michael Porter Jr. I think he's going to have to carry quite a load, and he's only going to get better. I wouldn't be against it. And I don't know how I feel about Jokic losing all the weight that he has, what that's going to do for him.
Luka is at plus 425. He's second. Steph, plus 600. Some of the other ones that I marked down as interested in is and I like Trae Young at plus 2,500. I'll be honest with you. Mm. I think that's one I might even put $5 down on just for that, because he continues to improve, and the next step is to possibly lead the league in scoring. Durant's plus 3,000. Harden's plus 6,000. They're tempting just in case if one of the two get injured. The other ones, I know Kyrie's still there, but
one of them's going to light it up.
Yeah. If that's just based on one of them getting injured, which is a possibility. I mean, we've seen it. Lillard, plus 700. Embiid is plus 750. So,
a lot of good names out there. That's a tough one to make a choice on.
Yeah, because with Embiid, like, I don't know who they're going to get back for Simmons. If Simmons Simmons isn't staying, but if Simmons was staying, then I think that Embiid would take more of the scoring load, even with Simmons there, because Simmons has been hesitant to shoot, especially in the playoffs. That'd be interesting. But like I said, I like the Trae Young one if I was going to, but I'm staying away from the Ja plus 20,000. As I'll save my dollar to spend it on something else.
It's spend it on this. Ja to lead the league in assists at plus 3,500.
That is tempting.
I think he could do it.
Yeah. With the wing shooters that we have, and, you know, another year with Jaren, I think it's possible. And, you know, if he comes out as a scorer initially, the defenses are going to collapse on him, and all he's going to do is – I mean, he's one of the best passers in the league already, yep. And he's still so young and – he's just improving. So that's worth a dollar of my money.
If Jaren at plus 1,500 most improved, my number one Grizzlies player future. I think Morant plus 35 on assists is probably my second favorite.
Yeah, that we'll talk about the MVP here in a second. Let's go to Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
Taylor Jenkins plus 2,200.
That's low for – I just don't see, like, the Grizzlies are going to skate in the back end of the playoffs again, and people are going to, you know, praise Jenkins for doing the job that he has with the roster. But you're going to – it's going to be somebody like Billy Donovan in Chicago or Steve Nash in Brooklyn. It's going to be something like that. Or it could be Quinn Snyder, Monty Williams. Like those four names are the ones that I feel like had the best shot at it.
Nash is leader in the clubhouse, plus 850. Spoelstra plus 950. Malone is at plus 1,400. I kind of like that. But the one I really like, if you're going to give me plus 5,000 for Greg Popovich, I'm going to take plus 5,000 for Greg Popovich. I know the Spurs aren't going to be that good, but I think they can overachieve. And if they can actually be in playoff hunt toward the end of the season, even if they get knocked out maybe a couple weeks beforehand, it could be considered Popovich's best coaching job.
Well,
he hasn't won Coach of the Year since 2014.
And here's a factor in that. if we catch wind that it's Popovich's final year and he does something like that, it may be one of those honorary votes where, like, we're going to send him out with the Coach of the Year award for taking this rebuilding roster and, you know, making the play-in tournament, you know, phenomenal coaching job, like some legacy type award for him.
Yeah. So, like, I get, he's not really a dark horse because it's Popovich, but if you're giving me plus 5,000 for Popovich, I'm going to throw a dollar on it just because, like, come on. We can agree. He's the best coach in the league. I mean,
yeah, no doubt.
I know he doesn't necessarily have the talent that he always has, but still, he always gets the guys to play better than we expect.
Always.
So that takes us to, I believe, we're now at MVP, Most Valuable Player of the Year. Ja, we talked about this on our last show. He's at plus 4,500. I can't – I said I put a couple bucks on it, so I'm not going to take that back, but – I mean, it'd be worth it. If the Grizzlies make the jump, it's because of Ja.
Oh, there's no doubt. I just don't think that he's going to do enough to overcome somebody like Luka or one of the Nets guys. Or I think they're going to have some voting fatigue with Giannis, so he probably won't get it this year. I just don't see Morant being at that point quite yet to put a dollar down on plus 4,500.
Yeah, Luka is plus 380. He's the favorite. Embiid plus 700. Durant plus 700. Giannis plus 800. LeBron, Jokic both at plus 1,500. Trae Young and Harden both at plus 2,000. And then my dark horse that I'll throw a dollar on, Bam Adebayo. He's plus 10,000.
I'll throw my dollar on Trae Young.
That's fine. I just, like I said, I was looking for dark horses that have a lot, like have big odds. I mean, I don't think it's a make or break season for Bam, but I do think, like, if he's going to, I think he could make the next step. I do think that. And it's willing to throw a dollar. It's kind of one of those things where looking for a Jokic-type bet to make at the beginning of the season because no one thought Jokic would be the MVP last season, and, you know, look what happened. So that's kind of what I was going for with the Bam pick. That's didn't really fair. See anybody else all the way down there that I'd be like, yeah, I could see them do that. Bam, I could.
Fair enough.
All right, you want to move on to so you're before we let's put a bow on the individual awards, individual bets. Your favorite one for Grizzlies players and coaches is the Jaren Jackson most improved player.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's your confidence one? That's the one that you'd put maybe $2 on, $3 on?
I'd be willing to almost put 10 bucks on it.
Okay. Is there an award, like anything else, not necessarily a Grizzly, but is there any other one that you're like, you're pretty confident and you put more than a couple bucks on?
I'd probably put a couple bucks on both of the Utah guys to win Sixth Man of the Year. So that way, if I lose, I make it up on the other one. Kind of hedging the bet. I just think that it's theirs to lose. So I'd have to go with that. And I may bet Luka MVP just because I want to see him win it, and it'd be cool to win with him. So
and then Jalen Green
at rookie of the year. Pretty confident in that one too.
Cool. Now let's move on to the teams. You want to start with, like, there's a bunch of ways we could go with this. You want to go with regular season wins over and under? I know you did a lot more with stuff like that. Do you want to kind of get to that toward the end? We can do the wins over and under and then champions, or do you want to start with the regular season wins?
Let's do the champions, and we'll do the over-under totals later.
All right. Well, first we'll do with to make the playoffs. And – the Grizzlies, for me, it was surprising to me that they're plus 110 to make the playoffs.
That was confusing because I didn't do the math on the over-unders to see if there were eight teams ahead of them in over-under totals for regular season wins. I'm assuming that that's what the case is, but Yeah, give me. I just wouldn't put $100 to win 110 on the Grizzlies making the playoffs. Like,
no, I put $10 down to win 11.
I'll put a dollar down to win $1.10. Like,
like I said, I put $10 on a game on Saturday. It's basically the same thing. It's just I have to wait 8 months to get my $11.
No, it's $21. You get your $10 back plus 11 more.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think that's a steal. I think the Grizzlies. And I wonder if this is if the play-in tournament is included in this. Like, if they make if they're the 10 seed, are they considered to make the playoffs, or is this just the top 8 seeds after the play-in tournament is over? Because if it's the 10 seed, I think this is a steal.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no clarity when I'm looking on their website making the bet to make the playoffs. So, I mean, that's a good question, because now there's the play-in and what's considered playoffs. I mean, the stats don't even show up as regular season or playoffs, so you're kind of stuck with it being the play-in. A couple other plus money teams to make the playoffs that may throw 10 down on. Well, I may throw 10 down on the Hornets. They're plus 175 in the Eastern Conference. I think the bottom part of the bottom half of the Eastern Conference, I think it's pretty tight down there. And I think a team like Charlotte could maybe get hot late, learn to play well together as the season progresses, and even maybe sneak in there. If they sneak in as a 10 or 9, just one game, you know, the hottest team in the league coming into the playoffs, you know, they could maybe sneak in there. The long shot, Sacramento. The only thing against them is Luke Walton, I guess. And also, they're Sacramento. It just seems like they're doomed.
The snake bit.
They're cursed. But they finished the season strong. You know, they played the Grizzlies tight on games that the Grizzlies had to win. So it's not like the Grizzlies were taking off there. They're plus 380 to make the playoffs. So $10 to win 38. You want to bet 100 if you're – to win 380, I'll go for it. But that was the one I liked the most. That was the longest shot on possibly making the playoffs. I think injuries would have to happen to somebody, though.
They're inevitable. It's going to happen. I'm looking at – it looks like this is just counting 8 because I just did the math. They have 8 Western Conference teams with higher win total.
Okay.
With the Clippers being the 8th, and they are 4 wins higher than Memphis at the moment, which we'll get into those later. You're Charlotte. I have Charlotte as a 10 seed right now, sandwiched between the Knicks and the Wizards. So I'm with you. I think they could sneak in. It just depends on, you know, how good is Washington going to be with Dinwiddie and Bill as their combo? Are the Knicks going to be able to repeat what they did? Are the Pacers going to figure it out with Carlisle? I think that's that bottom group in the East. And the Sacramento I actually right now have as the 10 seed in the West, right ahead of New Orleans. I think New Orleans might be another one that would be okay to put some money on because, I mean, with Zion and Brandon Ingram, I don't know, man. Losing Lonzo, adding Valanciunas and Graham, I think the Pelicans probably got worse. So Sacramento might be your best Western Conference team to put down as a plus bet.
Well, as you mentioned with the win totals on the conference winners, let's go into the division winners. Southwest, it was Dallas is minus 250. Grizzlies are plus 350. It's not a bad bet to put $10 down on the Grizzlies to win the Southwest. I mean, you were more confident than I was when we had the kind of the Southwest Division roundtable earlier in the offseason when we discussed what, you know, the Spurs and Mavs and everything. And I said, hey, we all got to assume that Dallas is probably still the favorite, right? And you were kind of hesitant saying, I don't know. I think the Grizzlies may be the favorite. So plus 350 is not that bad of odds to put a little money down on.
No, it really comes down to Porzingis and Jaren Jackson. If they're both healthy, you know, Luka's incredible in the Mavericks. But I mean, the Mavericks are under Jason Kidd now, and Kidd has not proven to be a good coach either. I think this is a good year for Memphis to sneak in there and win their first division title.
Other divisions that I'm still going to go with Dallas winning that division, but Grizzlies, it's worth putting a little money down on it. The Pacific Division, they don't really have – I mean, they have a favorite, but nobody's at minus money. It's all plus money. It's Lakers plus 105, Suns plus 220, Warriors plus 425.
What a gauntlet.
I know. I'm not touching any of those. I'll be honest with you. Like, the Warriors is the one that I would, but I'm not, just because.
Oh, I would do Phoenix. I'd put money on Phoenix.
Northwest Division, Jazz minus 250, Nuggets plus 320. Plus 320 is intriguing.
Without Murray, I think it's fair for Utah to kind of run off with that one.
And then the Southeast Division, Heat minus 125, Hawks plus 135. That's intriguing as well. I'm probably going to stay away from it because I can see it go either way.
Yeah, I think the Heat are going to win it, but I've got Miami and Atlanta back-to-back and seeding in the East, so it could be a one-game difference either way.
I know it's scared money don't make money, but, you know, sometimes it's like you find a better bet than one that I think that Atlanta could win, but I might want to throw it somewhere else to where I'm more confident in it. And on the same lines as the division winners, you can do the division straight forecast where you can pick the first and second place of each division. Southwest is the only one that I really wrote down because that'd be just going too inside baseball kind of deal with like every division, first, second, whatever. Southwest, Mavs, Grizz is the best one, plus 135. That's where I would put my plus 135 money. Not on the Hawks winning the Southeast. It would be the Mavs, Grizz to finish 1-2 in the division that way. The other way around that you like is plus 450.
Plus 450, yeah. I'll take those odds. And then the other option that I can see happening if Dallas suffers an injury, you know, Luka has ankle injuries that keep him out for a week here and there. Kristaps isn't what he is. Memphis, New Orleans, 1-2 finishes plus 1,800. So that's a possibility. But I just don't believe in New Orleans defense. I don't think they improved like we've talked about. So, you know, that it's clear that Vegas believes that Dallas Memphis is a heavy favorite to be the pecking order at the end of the season.
In case you're wondering, the other combos with the Grizzlies winning – Grizzlies Mavs plus 450, then Grizzlies Pels, as you mentioned, plus 1,800. Grizz Spurs plus 15,000. And then Grizzlies Rockets plus 30,000. So there's that. Pels Grizz plus 2,200. If you're going to go that way.
No, not going that way.
And then before we get into the regular season wins and the championship, we got conference winners. You kind of touched on this a little bit ago. We were talking about the wins. They have eight teams ahead of the Grizzlies to win, eight teams ahead in the West on win total. Well, the Grizzlies are ninth and to win of the West, they're plus 5,000 to come out of the West. I can't put the money down on that.
No, it's not the year. Give it a couple of years. We'll be talking about what the odds are on that. There's just too many teams that are better ahead. Yeah, I'll stay away from that.
Lakers plus 200, Warriors plus 550, Clippers plus 650, Jazz, Suns also plus 650, Nuggets plus 900. I've been on here multiple times saying I would do it on the Warriors.
I'm with you.
I just think plus 550, I'd put it on the Warriors. Jazz, Suns, I want them to make believers out of me. I'd love to see them back in where they were last year. I don't know if they can do it, but I can't put the money on the Lakers. No, I just can't. I just don't think that I think they're too old.
Yep.
And then in the East, the Nets are plus 100 to come out of the East. Like, that's even money.
If they're healthy, they're a juggernaut, and they're not going to be stopped.
Bucks plus 390. Sixers plus 750, Heat plus 900, Hawks plus 1500, Celtics plus 1800.
Give me, if I want to make some money, give me the Heat. I'll put some money on that.
Yeah. It's the one I starred down here because, you know, you never know with them. So I have Bam as my dark horse in the an MVP there, just because if they make that jump.
And you mentioned Tyler Hero as sixth man. You liked him. He could be most improved as well. He had a rough second year. You've got Spo, who's a coach of the year candidate every year. The addition of Kyle Lowry next to Jimmy Butler, like the Heat at plus 900 is pretty good odds.
And then NBA championship Grizzlies sitting there plus 10,000. worth a dollar in your bank account?
Sure, it's worth a dollar maybe. Just for the fun of it.
Nets, Lakers, obviously the favorites. Nets plus 200, Lakers plus 400, Bucks plus 900, Warriors plus 1,100, Nuggets plus 2,000, Hawks plus 3,500.
Again, give me the Warriors for value.
Yeah, most definitely. That's where I would go with the war. If Clay comes back and can just shoot,
and they figure out how to use Wiseman,
come in. Yeah, and if they get something from their rookies, they could be a very deep team.
Speaking of championship, here's a bet for you. I put $5 on the Memphis Tigers to win the national championship this year.
Oh yeah,
I did.
What'd you get your odds at?
I want to say they were at, let me look, move on and I'll find it.
Cause I know a few people that got in on that and they got in, one got in on it like
before Imani Bates. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, next thing up is the regular season win total. And I know you got a lot of going on with that. So I guess it around wait for you. I can mention that, out of all those things, the teams that I like the most with their odds are the Warriors, the Heat, and the Hawks on some things. To make the playoffs, I still like the Kings. Probably put $10 down on the Kings to make the playoffs to win $38. I mean, again, I don't have the bankroll that pro bettors have, but I do enjoy betting, and I'm not necessarily losing money. I'm sticking around, so – you know, you can fade or follow. It's your choice. Like, if I'm losing a lot, go against me. You'll win a lot. That's how it works.
I got the Tigers at plus 1,800.
Okay. So $5, you win 90?
Yep. Look at you. It's not bad. Betting Benjamin Hogan.
I know how to do math around here. That's not too bad. A friend of mine got in at, like, plus 5,000.
That'd be nice.
Put $20 down. Yeah. So if it works out for him, cool. But as a Tennessee fan, I hope it doesn't.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I'd be happy for all my friends. I remember seeing them when they the Kansas game.
I don't care about anybody that I know getting to celebrate that. I care about me winning my $90 bet, and that's it.
Maybe that's what I should do. I don't know what the odds are now. I'm pretty sure it's probably like plus 1,500 or 1,200 or something now. But maybe I should just throw a $5 or $10 on it to where if they do win, then I can be like, yeah.
Yeah, you're not miserable.
I was right there with you.
Yeah. NBA over-unders. I'll lead us through. Stop me where you want to talk about one. We'll just do it kind of rapid fire until we want to sit somewhere.
Okay. There's let me see how many I wrote down here. I wrote down seven teams. So if you get to one of those teams, I'll say that these are the one of them's the Grizzlies. And I said last time, I'm not betting the Grizzlies. So There's six other teams that I said that I wrote down that I like their over or under that I'd put maybe $5 on.
Yeah. And they made some of these really, really tough.
They don't like losing money.
So, starting with Atlanta, 46.5 wins, I got them at the over. I just think that they're only going to get better. So, I like Atlanta at the over. Brooklyn is at 56.5. I'm taking the under on Brooklyn because They don't, they're going to rest. Somebody's getting hurt. And they got the COVID restrictions there. And Sean Marks just said that if they were to start playing today, their entire team would not be available. So they've got some unvaccinated players that would not be able to play home games right now. So I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have on them. Boston at 46.5. I took the over on Boston, which I think is me just taking the risk there. I do think Tatum's going to continue to improve. I like the addition of Horford, and I think Schroeder's going to be a good fit too.
I don't have them down. I think they're going to be right around that. That was one of those. I was like, I kind of want to take the – same with Atlanta. Like, I want to take the over on both of them, but I'm not necessarily confident enough to say that they're going to hit the over just because I just
– So, Charlotte's at a 38.5, and I took the over, and I think I'd hammer the over. I think Charlotte can be a 500 team, which is 2.5 more wins than they have projected. So, it's still close, but I like the over for Charlotte. Chicago is at 42.5, and call me crazy, but I'm taking the over on Chicago at 42.5. I like their mix. I like their ability to play defense. I like Donovan as a coach. I think Chicago is going to be a team that avoids the play-in. I think they're going to be solidly in the playoffs. Cleveland, also kind of crazy, 27.5, and I took the under.
Oh wow!
I just think they're a terrible roster. Like the mix of players. Like, when are you going to play Jared Allen, Kevin Love, Lauri Markkanen, Evan Mobley, and then Okoro still young, Sexton and Garland's a weird fit, Rubio's a weird fit. You know, where are Rubio and Love going to be at the trade deadline? Like, it's just and JB Bickerstaff's a terrible coach. So.
That's a good lot of good points there. I didn't think about all of that. I did not have them listed. I haven't none of these teams that you named off I have listed yet. So,
all right, Dallas is next at 48.5, and I got the under. I don't think that their roster is deep. It's all Luka, and I just don't know that 48.5 is. They might win 48. But I don't think they're going over that. Denver at 47.5 is the under because of no Jamal Murray. I think that's really going to impact them a lot. Detroit, I think, is the second lowest win total, third lowest win total in the NBA this year at 25.5. But I still have the under. I just think they're really, really young. And then it's going to take them some time to mesh. Golden State at 47.5. I took the over. I think Golden State's going to win 50+.
That's one of the ones that I got. I got the over on that. Yeah, I think so too. I have them. I think they're going to win like 52, 53 games.
Yep.
Just because the talent's there. So, again, it's all – these are all assuming that everyone stays healthy.
Right. Well, and you got to think too with Golden State, like the valuable experience that Jordan Poole got last year. He is going to be massive off the bench for them. And then they added Otto Porter. I mean, they've got a good roster. I think Golden State's 50+ easy. Houston at 27.5. I took the over. I think they can get to 30 wins. There's a lot of young, but they're talented. Like their young guys are super talented, but that'd be a bet that if I lost, I wouldn't be shocked. if they hit the under. Indiana.
50 cents on
anyone. Yeah, give me. I'll drop a dime on it. Indiana was 42.5, and I took the over because I believe in Rick Carlisle. And then if TJ Warren comes back and plays like he did before, like in the bubble one, I think Indiana can get over 42.5. The Clippers 45.5. I got them under. I think the no Kawhi is going to be a massive deal for them. And then who else are they relying on besides Paul George, Eric Bledsoe, Reggie Jackson, Justice Winslow? I'll pass on the Clippers, at 45.5, the Lakers 52.5. What are you going to do with the Lakers 52 and a half?
I would say under, but I don't have that down because I'm not too confident. I mean, I think they can win a decent – I think they can win at a decent clip. I just don't think they can win the whole thing.
Right. So I have them at the under, but if they turn around and win 60 games because everybody stayed healthy, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
The spacing is still terrible on that team, but, you know, whatever. Memphis, 41 and a half. I'm taking the over by a half game. 42 and 40 is my prediction for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I said I would take the over, but I'm not betting because I think they're going to be right around 500.
Yep. And 41 and 41 loses the bet. So,
yep.
That's one you might want to stay away from. Miami at 48 and a half, I'm taking the over. I think Miami can win 50 games. I think they're going to be really good. Milwaukee, 54 and a half. I also took the over on 54 and a half, which is a big number, but I think Milwaukee can win 60 games again.
I do too. I have that marked down as over. I think they're going to win 60 as well. They're just so good. They're so disciplined. They have, as again, Giannis stays healthy. They're going to win 60 games again.
Bobby Porter balled out for them. He's been a good fit. Grayson Allen, I think, is going to play a big role for them. And then Boog just wins regular season games, man. Like,
yeah, I mean Middleton's going to be there.
Yeah, and right. Holiday's still there. Like, I think they can win 60. Minnesota, 35 and a half. I took the under. I just don't believe in D'Angelo Russell at all. Now, Anthony Edwards may be the factor that makes him go over. But I don't like the roster makeup in Minnesota. New Orleans, 39 and a half. I'm going to hammer the under.
I take the under too. I have been marked down as the under. I think they got worse.
I do too. I think so too. The Knicks, 41 and a half. I'll take the over with the Knicks. Tibbs is a good coach. If Randall maintains his level of play, Fournier is a decent piece to add. I don't think their roster improved significantly, but I do think that the Knicks can be a little bit better than the 500 team. OKC, 23 and a half. I'm taking the over. I like SGA, and I like, you know, the young guys over there. You're going to let them play. They got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So why not? Derek Favors is going to be a good vet for them if he stays. But Giddy and Poku and Dort, like, they got a good mix. Now, this might be my favorite one. And it's Orlando at 22 and a half, the worst odds in the NBA. And I will take the over all day long with Orlando. I like Mosley as a coach. I love the guard depth that they have. I think Wendell Carter Jr. has a chance to, like you said, a dark horse for most improved. And if we can finally get a taste of Jonathan Isaac being healthy, and Chuma Okeke from Auburn, dude, he's good. He's finally going to be healthy and be able to play. I think Orlando is going to surprise some people and definitely hit the over on that 22 and a half. Philly at 50 and a half. I have them written down at the over, but this is very much an asterisk next to it because I have no idea what this roster is going to look like.
I have the under. I'm just assuming that they're not going to get back what they want for Ben Simmons, and they're going to hold out for Ben. If he's not traded before the season starts, they're without Simmons.
Right. So if Daryl Morey wants to carry this into the season, I think it's a definite hammer on the under. But if they are able to bring home, say they make a trade with the Spurs and they bring back Deontay Murray and Derek White, and you put them next to what they have, they might be a better team overall. And I think they could win 50 to 52. But because this situation is probably about to drag out, I think the under might be the way to go on that. Phoenix, 51 and a half. I took the under on 51 and a half. I see them more at, you know, the 48 to 50 range. Portland at 44 and a half. I took the over. I think they improved their roster in a good way. Lillard is going to be Lillard. I think that's an easy bet. San Antonio, you got the Popovich factor, but they're at 28.5, and I'm taking the under. They're just a completely.
I took the over.
You took because of Pop.
I took the over. It's the Pop factor, man. It's just we've seen it. He takes a bunch of guys, and you know, they overachieve all the time. He's not gonna take a game off, and he's gonna make them work. And you know, he has no problem benching his players if they're not gonna play. And that a lot of fire in their ass. And I think that he can win between 30 and 35 games this season, and that would put you in the over.
I think if they're winning 35 games, Keldon Johnson is your NBA most improved player of the year. Like, cause he's going to have to be that.
They very well be terrible, but I have them as over 28.5.
Who's the only vet they got? Thaddeus Young? If he even stays on the roster, that's all you need. Thaddeus.
As any Grizzly fan, they want Thaddeus Young still.
I'd take Thaddeus right now. Sacramento at 36.5. I'll take the over on Sac.
I don't have that March, but I mean, I would too. But you know, if we're having to choose right now, one or the other, but these are the ones that I would have down as I would put a little money on, but I do not have Sacramento down there.
Toronto at 35.5. I'm going to hit the over on Toronto too.
I think that's the last one I got marked down. I know they lost Kyle Lowry, but I think Siakam is really, really good. And I think that, you know, they still got a lot of the same players there. And I think they can get 36, at least 36 wins. I think up to 40. I think they can be in that mix for that last playoff spot in the East.
Yeah, I've got him in the mix for it. I like Gary Trent Jr. getting his expanded role over there. Fred VanVleet is, you know, we know what he can do. But, like, this could be a breakout year for OG and Anobi. Boucher had a great breakout year last year for him. Scotty Barnes looked pretty good in summer league. So I'm taking the over there. Utah at 51.5. I took the over on Utah, and I've got Utah being the number one seed in the West. I think they can push 60 wins. Like, they're just a phenomenal team. They had a historic offense last year, and they're only going to get better. They lost only George Niang. Ooh, who cares? And then the Wizards, 33.5, taking the over. I think Bertans kind of had a slump of a year. I think he can figure it back out.
Yeah.
They were missing Thomas Bryant. He should be back. He's a phenomenal talent. Daniel Gafford proved he could be a depth player. Rui's going to grow. We forget that they got Denny Advia. He'll be back. And then adding Dinwiddie in that backcourt with Bradley Beal. I think Washington has the pieces to be better than 33.5. So that's all 30 teams right there, and they're over under.
So who's your – what's your favorite one?
The Magic.
Warriors?
The Magic.
The Magic. That's right. Yep. The Magic. 100, okay. I would say probably the Warriors. Warriors or Bucks is mine. I just think both those teams are going to be better than Vegas giving them credit for. I mean, we've seen it with both of them. That's the thing is, like, when they're at full strength, neither of these teams show much weakness when it comes down to it.
I heard on the Gary Parish show today that they don't think that the Warriors will even be full strength until like January. So that kind of makes me hesitant on like being fully confident in the over, but like Steph still balled out last year.
Right.
They've got a good roster even without Clay and Wiseman being fully healthy right away. So I could see it. They'd probably be my second favorite pick behind Orlando. I just think that 22 is such a low number. Like, you had to be garbage not to win 22 games. And I don't think Orlando has a garbage roster. I think they've got a decent roster. So that one is my favorite.
They almost made the Grizzlies miss the playoffs last year.
Yeah. And maybe I'm partial. The only time I've gotten to cover an NBA game as a credentialed media member was in Orlando. So maybe I'm just giving them the benefit of the doubt. Looking over in the Eastern Conference and the final standings at the one seed, I got the Bucks, and then I've got the Nets I think the Nets are the better team, but I think just the way the regular season plays out, the Bucks will finish with a better record. Miami is the 3 seed. I've got Atlanta at the 4 seed, Philadelphia at the 5 seed, and then Chicago wrapping up the locked-in spot at 6. I've got the Celtics, the Pacers, the Knicks, and the Hornets in the play-in tournament. And then just outside is with a shot is Washington, Toronto, and then I don't think Cleveland, Orlando, Detroit have a shot. In the West, I've got Utah finishing first, Phoenix second, Golden State third, the Lakers fourth, Portland fifth, Denver wrapping up the locked-in spot at 6, and then I've got Dallas, Memphis, Clippers, and the Kings in the play-in tournament with New Orleans and Minnesota on the outside looking in, with San Antonio, Houston, and Oklahoma City as the teams that really don't have a shot. And I think Oklahoma City finishes with the best odds to win the NBA draft lottery next year.
I don't have many problems with that. We discussed it. We didn't discuss this really. We talked about what we were going to do on the show today, but we didn't really discuss what our picks were until we got here. And it seems like we're mostly on the same page. I'm higher on San Antonio than you are, but for the most part, it kind of feels like, Sacramento and Charlotte are kind of, they're on the outside. They have the potential to get into the playoffs. They're kind of the teams that I think I've seen them lower a lot of other places than what we have them, Charlotte and Sacramento. But I think we agree on pretty much a lot of these. So I can't really argue with what you have there. I'm surprised that you have the Lakers as the 4 seed. I'll say that. And I'm also surprised, like you said, Milwaukee is the 1 seed, the Nets are the 2 seed, but the Nets are probably better. But Budenholzer just wins in the regular season. He won the postseason now, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, like the Lakers at the 4 seed may still end up being the best team, or the Warriors at the 3 seed may be the best team. It's just how the regular season plays out. Like, I think Utah and Milwaukee will be the 2 top seeds because they have great regular season teams. Maybe Utah's doesn't translate to the postseason as well.
Well, all right. You got anything else? I know you did a lot of heavy lifting over the last week or so.
We got to finish up the Grizzlies versus Cavs opening night.
That's right. But the line right now is Grizzlies favored by 7.
I'll take it. And then I'll take the under, which is right now set at 216.5. That's a 108 to 109 score if it's close. I think both teams struggle to shoot the ball. It's going to be open tonight jitters. I don't see
Cleveland getting triple digits. I'll see Cleveland getting to 100.
Okay, that's interesting.
If the Grizzlies win, they got to win by 7. So at that point, so what you're saying, if they win by more than 7, so they got to win by 8. So if you're taking a -7, they got to win by 8.
108 to 100.
So, yeah, that would be it. 110 to 112, 102. I guess 112 to 104 would be right there at the 216.
Yeah, or you can go. Probably even more likely, I could see a 116 to 100 type win for the Grizz.
That's possible. It'll be. I'm excited about the season starting here in about a month or so. And as I was saying, you did a lot of heavy lifting over there on Grizzly Bear Blues over the last week and a half or so. You gonna publish that in a book? You did a lot of work, man. It was some good stuff.
Yeah, the Zach Kleiman trade garden was a lot of research. Was a lot of fun. Kind of cool to see the all the pieces put together and how many moves were made off of just Mark and Mike. And how our future's been set really off 2 moves, and how Kleiman's done a really good job and how we can expect him to continue to do a good job going forward. What's really cool for us going forward is your two hosts, the 3&D podcast, will also be on the 92.9 ESPN game feeds on some nights. Ben in arena, lucky dog. And then I'll be at the station cutting the highlights. So it's cool to be a part of game night in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I begin down there about 4 o'clock every game day, I guess when tips at 7 o'clock, and then I guess I'll be talking to you while you're cutting highlights
through the headset. We'll get to chat.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I guess that starts in 2 weeks. 2 weeks today. Is it Friday? 2 weeks from Friday?
In the preseason. Right? Yeah. We'll have to get all the kinks worked out in the preseason.
Yeah. I'm going down there next week to make sure I still remember how to set everything up. It's been about 4 years since I've done it. So
yeah, I need to practice run. It's been 2 years for me. I got to remember how to use the program.
it's not that tough. And for me, it's basically just finding out where to plug in what. And yeah. Making sure everything works. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. We got 2 weeks until our next podcast. And like we talked about at the beginning, there's going to be some roster moves probably made between now and then. And if not, we'll figure out what needs to be done for the Grizzlies. You got anything else you're working on for Grizzly Bear Blues right now?
No, man. I'm working on school stuff right now. I got some article reviews and that kind of stuff. So I'm going to probably take a break until we get closer to the preseason, and then I'm going to do an NBA 2K season simulation, kind of see what 2K thinks is going to go down for the Grizz this year.
I hear that. I'm gonna put up something that accompanies this podcast probably later in the week. Actually, it'll probably have to be sometime next week, so I'm actually going out of town. But I'll put up something with the odds and my best picks and everything, and I'll put yours in there as well, and just kind of push people to the podcast from that as well. So if you want to go back, you don't want to have to go and cycle through this whole hour show, and you want to just figure out who we picked, that'll be posted up on Grizzly Bear Blues next week, and then we'll start probably getting into the nitty gritty, probably player previews and all that stuff. It's probably right around the corner for Grizzly Bear Blues, so I'm looking forward to that as well. You got anything else?
No, man. That's it.
All right. I appreciate you, and I appreciate everyone listening, sticking it out with us. And until 2 weeks from now, this is the 3&D podcast. I'm Ben Hogan at Not the Golfer. He's Justin Lewis. What's your Twitter handle at? Is it underscore J Timberfake?
J underscore Timberfake underscore.
Okay. I knew there were a couple underscores in there, and I knew I was going to mess it up. So that's why. Until next time. This is the 3&D podcast.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.